want to consider this morning a subject, our adversary, the devil. Our adversary, the devil. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, and Paul reminds us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, Paul again says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." And in these verses, we see that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are all involved in a spiritual war. In the world, for a long time, men, military men studying the art of war, the study Sun Tzu, who very famous book entitled The Art of War. And the military all over the world read this book and study it, and he states that if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. And to know the enemy, we begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. To know our enemy, we begin in Genesis 1, verse 26, which reads, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps in the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." In these verses we see that God created man in his own image, male and female, and that God gave them dominion over the whole earth. Then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And so we see here the first thing that God gave man was a job to do, to tend the garden. In these verses we see that God gives man rule to obey. That is, in these verses we see that God gives a man one rule to obey, that is not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then in chapter 3 and verse 16, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of the both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings. And in these verses we see that Adam and Eve have disobeyed God in the only rule which he had given them. Then in verse 13, where the Lord God asks the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman replies, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And in these verses we see that the devil, in the guise of the serpent, deceived Eve, and they lost their dominion of the earth to the devil, as the Lord states in John 12 and verse 31. "Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of the ruler of this world will be cast out, because of his sin of disobedience by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam lost his dominion of the world, and Satan received it by deception." And Ephesians 2 and verse 2 states that, "Wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or our way of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And Romans 5 and 12 states that, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that in all have sinned. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one man much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And what is the gift of righteousness but the very gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord?" And 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 states that, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Dominion of this world will be restored to men through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that we shall reign with him." 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45 states that, "The first man Adam was made a living soul. The last man Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For he must reign till he have put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Job chapter 1, and in Job's chapters 1 and 2, the curtain is pulled back, as it were, and Scripture gives us a glimpse of what takes place in the spiritual realm. The angels come before God to give an account of their activities, and Satan also comes amongst them. And through the Lord God questioning Satan, it is revealed that Satan's desire and focus is upon the man Job. When the Lord commends Job by saying that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or shunneth evil, Satan replies, "Doth Job fear God for nothing? And hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan's contention is that Job fears God because the Lord has made Job very rich and has put a hedge of protection around Job, preventing Satan from harming Job. But if the Lord would remove the hedge, then Satan could get at Job and tempt him, and test him and tempt him to curse God. Again, there was a day when the angels came to present themselves before God, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord again commends Job to Satan by saying, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou move me against him to destroy him without cause? And this is after the Sabaeans had stolen Job's oxen and had slain his servants with the edge of the sword. Then the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up Job's sheep and his servants, consuming them. The Chaldeans stole Job's camels and slew Job's servants. Then Job's sons and daughters were killed by a great wind from the wilderness, which smote the four corners of the eldest brother's house, with them in it, which fell on them and killed them. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Then Satan contends that Job fears God because that the Lord has blessed Job with good health, and that if the Lord would put forth his hand and touch Job's bone and his flesh, then Job would curse God to his face. Then the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, Job is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto the crown of his head. And Job took a fragment of a broken pot to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But Job said unto her, Thou speakest as one foolish woman speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips? Job passes Satan's test and verifies the Lord God's commendation of Job to Satan, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. In this account of Satan's testing of Job, we can see that Job is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Then Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, in the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels come and minister unto him. So Job passes Satan's test and verifies God's commendation of Job to Satan, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And in this account of Satan's testing Job, we can see Job as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. God testifying of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Moody's Bible commentary states that with his temptation, that with his baptism, the first of two prerequisites for Jesus beginning his ministry was over. The second involved his testing. At his baptism, God identified Jesus as his Son, his only begotten Son. In the first two temptations, the devil attacks Jesus on precisely his divine sonship, "If thou be the Son of God." The first temptation may have been designed to influence Jesus to act independently of God by using his own divine powers to alleviate his great hunger. But Jesus responded by citing Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which reads, "And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live," which is in context of God humbling Israel, evaluating the people's obedience, determining if they would depend on him, disciplining them as a father disciplines a son. And where Israel failed, Jesus was faithful. In the second temptation, the devil cited scripture about God's promises to protect his people in Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And in either physically or in a vision, Jesus was taken to the temple, probably because the temple symbolized God's intense care for his people. Psalm 18 and 6, which reads, "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." The very point of this temptation, and Jesus responded with another reference to Deuteronomy 6, verse 16, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa." While God promises to protect his children, they must not coerce him to do so, which would be tantamount to turning him into their slave. The Lord Jesus would not cast himself down off the pinnacle of the temple and tempt, test God to save him. The third temptation may also have been a visionary experience, what the devil offered Jesus. God the Father had already promised him, namely, world dominion. Psalm 2 and verse 7 and 8, which reads, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen or the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thine possession. And Daniel 7 and 13 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. In response to this temptation by the devil, Jesus cited Deuteronomy 6:13, which reads, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name, which is a verse found in the context of warning about idolatry on the eve of the Hebrews entering the Holy Land. Failure to worship God alone would result in decisive judgment. Deuteronomy 6:14, which reads, Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Had Jesus succumbed to the temptation to worship the devil, he would have faced God's wrath and forfeited his saving role. And unlike Israel in the wilderness, Jesus did not fail when he was tested. When the devil left him, angels came to minister to serve him, and possibly indicating that they brought food, since a 40-day fast would have left him precariously weak. There are practical lessons for believers today suggested by this episode. First, Jesus drew upon Scripture to resist the attacks of the devil. And James states in 4 and 7, Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the word flee is a verb, an action word, which suggests haste and speed. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you with haste and speed. How can believers today hope to fare very well against Satan if they have little knowledge of the word of God? And Ephesians 6 and verse 17 states, And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Second, the devil quoted scripture, but he did so out of context, as in Psalm 91 verse 11, For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. These verses are about the Lord's protection for his children in the vicissitudes of life, not in a presumptuous and impetuous actions chosen in foolishness. God's people must not only be able to quote scripture, but will need to know what it means in its context. Third, eventually God met all of Jesus' needs, and as his children wait humbly for him to act, he will never let them down. Isaiah 14 and verse 12 states that, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And in Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 12, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. There has been an Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets or timbrels, and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways, for the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned therefore. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hadst corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. In these verses we see the origin of the devil, Satan. He was created, Lucifer, son of the morning, the anointed cherub that covereth, the most beautiful creature in all of God's creation. And because of his brightness, Lucifer was lifted up by his own pride and sinned against God when he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Jeremiah 49:16 states that the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. On Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so the pride of Lucifer, he fell. And Peter, in 1 Peter 5:8, states that, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians 11:14, he warns, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And Revelation 12:10, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. And Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. In these verses, we see the motive and the methods of the devil. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. A lion roars to say that he owns this territory, and to frighten all who are in his territory. Satan, the devil, can disguise himself as an angel of light and can appear as good and a trustworthy person. As the accuser of the brethren, Satan has access to heaven, as we have read in Revelation 12:10 and in Job 1:2. Also in Luke 22:31, we read, and the Lord speaking, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And the Apostle John encourages us in 1 John 2:1, which states that, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the world. When the devil accuses of sin, and when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we have seen that Satan is the great deceiver, as he has deceived the whole world, aided by his angels. Satan is the great deceiver who has deceived the whole world, aided by his angels. But thankfully, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are encouraged by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 and 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And 20 in verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. In Revelation 20, we see the demise of Satan and his final abode. An angel binds him with the great chain and puts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And as we have seen, Satan as the accuser of the brethren, with access to heaven day and night, and walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and as the deceiver of the whole world. And in all his activity, we see Satan as a restless being, incapable of being at rest or at peace. So think what it must be like for Satan when he will be chained in the bottomless pit, where he will be continually straining at the great chain to be free during this 1,000 years of confinement in the bottomless pit, where he does not reflect on his actions which caused him to be there, because after 1,000 years, when he is released, he returns to his old ways of deceiving the nations once again, resulting with him and all those who he deceives being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone to be tormented day and night for all eternity. In Revelations 20 and 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In these verses we see that our good works cannot save us, and will end with those trusting in them to save them being cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the devil, the beast, and the false prophet are, along with all unbelievers. Then for us to be found written in the book of life, we just have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save us, and he will. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And if you're listening to this message this morning, and you do not as yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, why not just now ask him to save you? And he will. And remember that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Because we cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow. So then, be saved today. Because for you, tomorrow may never come. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit for all saints. And we finish by saying, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you finish in prayer, David, please?
Father, we give you thanks for the praise you again for what it is you said this morning.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for your word is truth. And we know, Father, that we're not ignorant to the devil's advices, Father, because your word is there for each and every one. Sweet is thy word unto my taste, sweet is honey to my mouth. And through thy precept I yet understand, and therefore I hate every false way. The word is light unto my path, and a lamp unto my feet. I give you thanks, and we praise your name, Father, for all thy goodness and grace and mercy to us. Thou hast said you would never leave us nor forsake us, and we thank you, Father, for that. You care for us, Lord, and Satan can only harm us as much as you would allow it, Father. And we pray, Father, that you help us to bend thy word. For through thy word, Father, we get understanding, Lord. And through thy word, Lord, we get protection. Even the Lord himself, Father, said it is written. And he had stemmed off the wiles of the devil, Lord. You could do nothing against him because there was nothing in him. But Lord, we are only frail and weak and foolish in our times, Lord. You know it, our frame, remember that we are dust. And we find at times we need thee, Lord, we're not fit for him because he is mighty power. But thy word will stem him off, and so far help us, Lord, in the days that may lie ahead. That, Lord, we know the words to say and to get them out of our way, Father. And to stem them all, Father. So, Father, we give you thanks, and we thank you for Sam, for undertaking for him, Lord. It's not his word, it's your word. And, Lord, there we commit it to you in your hand. You'll take it and use it to your glory. For it's thy glory, Lord, that we seek, Father, that you've saved and saved souls, Lord, in these times, Father. The world has went their own way, Father. They don't need God. Who is God? I'm all right, Father. This is what they're saying, Lord. There's no fear of God. But, Father, there's judgment to come, Father. And help us, Lord, in these days, that, Lord, to tell people that there's a coming, and there's a coming judgment. And there's a place far where those that will perish far if you do not accept Thee as Lord and Saviour. So thank You for our time this morning. Even on the table, Father, we thank You for it. We thank You, Father, for the precious word, Lord, that we've already heard. Take us from this place, Father. Take us to a home in safety. Let nothing befall us but the way, Father. And then when we return again, Lord, to prayer meeting and to the gospel, we commit it to You and into Your hand. Thank You, Father, for undertaking for Netta. Thank You for undertaking for Sadie as well, Father. Answered our prayers for Jody as well, for Sam and Ruth, Lord, and for me and myself. We praise Your name, Father. Yes, Father, You're a wonderful God, and You're truthful through Your word. We thank You in the name that's above all names, in the name of our Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.